Well, 2 weeks ago, I was in the Boundary Waters with our young people and adults. And the Boundary Waters can be a wonderful place. It can also be rather a frightening place. And I want to share with you the most dreaded words anyone can ever hear in the middle of a Boundary Waters trip. They are not, "There's a severe storm coming, run for cover." The most dreaded words in the Boundary Waters are not, "Somebody just got hurt, we have to evacuate all the way back to camp," which did happen to one of our groups this year. And the most frightening, dreadful words in the Boundary Waters that you can hear are not, "The guide forgot all the food back at camp." The most dreadful and frightening words anyone can hear in the Boundary Waters are these. "Who'd like to say the prayer before we eat?" Because when you hear those words, this is what you get. First, you get the sound of crickets, and you get people going like this. And finally, one brave volunteer filled with the love of Jesus says, "I guess I'll do it." And we have our prayer. And it's always a wonderful prayer. But I share that with you because you know what? A lot of us, we have issues with prayer, especially any prayer we've got to say out loud in front of other people. Because I will certainly admit to you, prayer is a strange, confusing, and mysterious thing. I mean, think about what prayer is. When we pray, we enter into a conversation, a one-sided conversation usually, with the God who created all that exists. When prayer, we Christians believe we have a direct link with the Lord. We believe that the Lord actually wants us to talk to him. He wants us to come to him. When we pray, even if those prayers are those silent words inside of our heads, we believe that God can and does hear those words. Prayer is a strange thing, isn't it? And I'll admit something else about prayer. A lot of Christians really are confused by prayer, and they really don't get a lot of training in prayer. For a lot of people, prayer consists of some words before a meal. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words to us be blessed. Amen. Let's eat," right? That's what prayer is for a lot of folks. Or prayer may be the words you listen to in worship and you're kind of going along waiting for that Lord and your mercy because then it's, you know, it's your turn. Or it could be the words of the Lord's Prayer, which we say every week in worship. We confuse prayer. For a lot of people, prayer is hoping and it's wishing. "Lord, I hope my aunt gets better. Lord, I wish the teacher would forget the test we have scheduled for today." Or for lots of people, prayer is simply asking God for stuff. "Lord, do this for me. Lord, give me that." And it's at times like that, and in circumstances like that, that it is very wonderful that we as Christians have some powerful teachers and instructors on how to pray. We have Jesus, we have the Apostle Paul, and today we also talk about Martin Luther. Here's what Martin Luther once said about prayer. "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Prayer needs to be as natural a part of our lives as breathing is to us. The Bible tells us again and again and again to pray. In the end of his letter, we call 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pray without ceasing. Paul says, well, he obviously doesn't mean pray 24/7 because we can't do that. We do need to eat and do a few other things. But he says that prayer needs to be real, powerful, and present in our lives. Paul says that when we pray without ceasing, we learn to rejoice always, not just some of the times, not just in the good times. Remember, Paul wrote these words while he's in a Roman prison. He can rejoice even while he's in prison. He says when we pray all the time, when we pray without ceasing, we learn to give thanks in all circumstances, and we know what God's will is for us in our lives. We have a lot of other things that we need to know about prayer for us as Christians. In Ephesians 6, the lesson you just heard today, Paul says that we are to pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. And then he says this, Christians need to persevere in prayer. We've got to be strong in prayer. The famous story about Winston Churchill and the dark days of World War II during the Blitz when England was standing by itself, and he gave a speech to a group of school children. And in this speech, here is what he said. See if you can catch his subtle point. Young men, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never, 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 never. Did you catch what he was saying? Don't give up. Well, that's what the Bible says to us. In prayer, we don't stop praying. We persevere in prayer. Paul also asked the Christians in Ephesus to pray for him while he is in prison. He says, pray for me so that I may speak a message may be given to me that may be known with boldness so that I can proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. He says, pray that I may declare it boldly. Regular, persistent, faithful, and bold prayer. That's what you and I are called to have in our lives. And Martin Luther knew this. This year we celebrate Luther. And we remember, I said in a sermon just a couple months ago that Luther was busy, creative, brilliant, harried, devout, and faithful. And Luther knew above all the importance of prayer. Here's another wonderful quote from Martin Luther. He said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. His day was so busy and so filled, he had to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Now, normally, when you have a busy day, what's your main goal? What can I cut out, right? What can I eliminate to make my day easier? And unfortunately, in our lives, all too often, the things we cut out are the things of God. It's very easy to set God to the side while we do everything else. But Martin Luther knew that in his busy, hectic life, when he faced those busy, hectic times, it means I need to be even closer to God so he will support me, he will strengthen me. So I need to spend more time in prayer. Jesus knew that as well. The Gospels are filled with stories about Jesus' prayer life. Today, at the very beginning of his ministry work, when he is so busy, we are told in the morning while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and he went to a deserted place and there he prayed. He began his very busy day, even before the sun's up, praying. When Jesus begins his ministry, he goes off into the wilderness for 40 days, and what does he do? He spends that time fasting, and fasting's not just dieting, it's purifying yourself so that you can pray. He prayed so that he could withstand the temptations of the devil. Luke tells us that at the end of those busy and exhausting days where so often he was healing the sick, Jesus would withdraw to a deserted place and pray. After he feeds the 5,000 people, he sends the disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And what does he do? He goes up a mountain by himself to pray. In the story of Jesus' transfiguration, he goes up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John to, you can guess it, to pray. And on the last night of his life, in John's gospel, he prays this long, long, elaborate prayer for his disciples, that they may be strong once he has departed them. And later that night, as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he has been sold out, that he is about to be arrested and to be killed, he says what I think is maybe the most remarkable prayer ever said. He prays, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, which is meaning if there's any way you can do this, God, without me dying, please do it. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. And as he hung on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He asked God to forgive the people who were killing him. And with his last breath, he prayed, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Our Lord Jesus and his devoted servants, such as the Apostle Paul and Martin Luther, they have all taught us the importance of prayer. And you and I, we need to know the power of prayer in our lives. Now, I will admit to you, your pastor does not spend 3 hours in the morning praying. Okay, I will be honest with you. I know you all do. I don't all the time. My prayer time tends to be at night. I find the quiet time at the end of the day in bed. That's when I like to pray. It doesn't matter when you pray, although you don't just have to have one time. I know a lot of you, Sherry, you've talked about how you're praying in the car all the time. That's wonderful. The key thing is we do pray, that we take the time to pray, and not just shallow, repetitive prayer. At our house, I will admit at the pastor's house sometimes, we're saying the meal, and one of us will say, did we pray?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Now, I want it to be a little bit more than that, okay? But that happens to all of us. Christians, we need to know that we have prayed. Prayer is stating, I know my life belongs to God, and it cannot be lived without God standing as the foundation of my life. Prayer is not just mouthing words, and it's not just asking for things. Prayer is a commitment to God saying, Lord, you are my God, and you are worthwhile talking to. Now, we know a lot of people in our lives we don't really talk to, right? Those who are important to us, we take the time to talk to. God should be in that category. And even if you don't hear a voice in response, we need to say, Lord, I know you are listening to me, and you do care for me. And prayer is asking God, daring God, to say, Lord, I trust that you will do the things you say you will do. In his catechism, Martin Luther says that we are to pray with all the confidence that young children have when they talk to a loving parent. And as Jesus taught us in his prayer life, we also need to make sure that we pray, Lord, and for me this is the most important kind of prayer in my life, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. Prayer needs to be a habit. Little Mabel's coming to the baptismal font in a few minutes. Her parents will promise that they will teach her to pray, to learn that habit. Every habit we have in our lives, you have to work, right? On a good habit, you have to work on it. One of the neat little ways here at Grace you can learn the habit of prayer is this. Down in the new part of the church, outside the new education room, we have a prayer wall. A couple of mesh screens on the wall, kind of like the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And you can take a little sheet of paper, write your prayer request, roll it up, and stick it in the wire. It's a great way for all of us, not just for kids, but for all of us to learn to pray. Prayer is about giving ourselves to God, admitting we need him in our life. It's about giving God thanks and praise and glory for all he has done for us. Prayer is us taking the time to say, Lord, I want to be with you. It's a mystery, folks. How can God hear the prayers of millions of people at one time? I don't know. How can God hear the prayers silently inside of my head? I don't know. But I do know this, that I can and I will pray because God calls us to pray. We take God at his word when he says, speak to me, we speak to him. Martin Luther tried to get this across to the members of his church 500 years ago. He was talking about praying the Lord's Prayer. Listen to what he wrote. He said, Oh, Heavenly Father, dear God, I am not worthy that I should lift up my eyes or hands to you in prayer. But since you have commanded us to pray and have taught us how, through our Lord Jesus, I will say, give us this day our daily bread. Since God has commanded us to pray and taught us to pray. And we pray believing, and we pray putting our hope in him, and we pray knowing that prayer is the breath that brings our faith alive. So friends, may we all strive to pray without ceasing, especially in those hectic, crazy, busy times of your life. That's when we need prayer the most. And may we all work to build up that habit of making prayer a solid foundation in our lives. And if we do that, we're in pretty good company. Jesus, Paul, and Martin. You can't beat that. Amen. I invite you now to take a quiet moment of prayer, asking the Lord to be with you in all times. And when we're done, I'll join them singing the baptismal. Join in.